just this one verse tonight. Let's all read together. Chapter 22 of Proverbs on that fifth verse. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them.
You know, there are phrases that change your life. I think all of us have been there at one time or another, leastways I would like to think that we've all been there. There are messages that we've heard preached from the Word of God that were life-changing. We have heard songs that we've listened to that have been impactful upon our lives in a great way, personally. And there are little phrases that are found throughout the Word of God that are just life-changing. Like, for example, Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, that's a wonderful promise. Calling on the name of the Lord to be saved, that's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful phrase that is found there. In this particular verse, there is a phrase that is used that is also the sermon title tonight, and that is simply this: thorns and snares. Let me say it again, thorns and snares. How many times have you heard me say, and I know it's been countless, and I realize that, and I also know that repetition is the key to learning, and it honestly is, because we forget, in our human frailty, we forget. That's just our weakness. That's what we do. We don't remember everything that is taught us or said to us. But I learned many years ago, I guess it was while I was in Bible college. I mean, that was right after Lincoln had gotten shot. That's a long time ago, okay? But I heard the phrase that simply said, repetition is the key to learning. Now, how is that important to me? I was an average to below average student in high school. I didn't learn how to study until I was in my second year in college. And I learned that phrase that repetition is the key to learning. And I still remember the outline that it came from. The first point in that outline on how to study was read all of your notes every day. Don't study them, just read them. And I had never heard that before, that I could remember anyway. I believe the first time it was taught was by Dr. Carl Laurent, and Dr. Carl Laurent is in heaven now. But he said, read all of your notes every day. Well, I started to do that, and I turned below average and failing grades into A's and B's from that one simple principle. So I say again, the right road leads to the right place, and the wrong road always leads to the wrong place. The right road will never take you to the wrong place, and the wrong road will never, ever take you to the right place. And so scores of times I've said that, and I'm sure, but however, the truth is not just something that I say or something that I learned years ago. It's something that is firmly grounded in the Word of God. Let me give you the verses that give us that. Psalm 1 in verse 1, it tells us of a road that leads to the wrong place. Remember what it says? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And here it's called the way of sinners. You see, it's talking about the wrong road. Stay off that road. Staying off that road will keep you on the right road, Lord willing. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. That's a road you want to stay off of. People say, oh, the Christian life is just too demanding, and it's too difficult, and it's too hard. Listen, it's not. Because in the Christian life, we have the Lord to go with us every step of the way. But the Bible doesn't say the Christian life is hard. It says sometimes there are hard things that we have to go through. But it says it's the way or the path, the road of the transgressor that is hard. I happen to believe what the Bible says. Proverbs 4 and verse 14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not the way of evil men. So there you, once again, the wrong road that will always lead you to the wrong place. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 and chapter 16 and verse 25. These verses you know by heart. They're the same in both places. It simply says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's a dead end road. And that's the road you need to stay off of, because God gives a warning. Too bad more of us do not pay heed to that very simple instruction, teaching us that the wrong road will always lead us to the wrong place. Now, Solomon now warns his son and us, not just his boy. You got to remember, all of the Word of God is for us. It's not all to us, okay? In other words, God did not make me a promise of being a great nation, okay? That was not his promise to me. However, when I read that, it's for me. I understand that. And so when I say this, as Solomon is now warning his son, and he's warning every one of us about the way of the froward, and he says to avoid that way. So let's define two words, shall we? First of all, the word way. It simply means a path. And I believe the deaf, their sign for that is two W's, sideways, drawing a road or a path. So it's talking about the road you're on, the road you take, the path of your life, which direction you go. You can apply that any way you want to. It all means the same thing. And now look at the word froward that is found in there when it talks about the way or the path of the froward. The froward simply means perverse and deceitful and false. And so teaching us about this, he says, that's the road you got to stay off of. Why is it important? Let's go back to the sermon title tonight. It's about thorns and snares, you see. The froward individual is a bad influence. There is no way around it. And all of us know froward people, and some of us in our lives have been froward at one time or another. If you think back long enough and hard enough, hopefully it hasn't been in the last 2 weeks, you see what I'm saying. But we've all had a froward time in our life where we did something deceitful, where we told something that was false or did something that was false or gave a false impression or did something that was perverse. And the following verses are where the word is used the same way, okay? I'm going to give you a number of them. Follow along with me. If you want to write down the references, they're good to go back and remind yourself. This is where the word is used. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 27, where it says, where the word of God says, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou shalt show thyself unsavory. Now, wait a minute. Froward and unsavory here are paralleled. Did you see that? He simply, with the pure, he'll show himself pure. With the froward, he'll show himself unsavory. So that's part of the meaning. Psalm 18 and verse 26. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Again, Psalm 18, 26. Psalm 101 and verse 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. So there you have froward associated with the word wicked, okay? So those two things go together here. They're not opposites. They're not contrast. They are comparisons. And then you have Proverbs 11 and verse 20. It says, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. So there's the word way, a path you choose, a road you're on. But notice what it connects here with froward, where it simply says, froward hearts are abomination. When I was teaching my children what different words in the Bible meant, because abomination is a big word. It's a big word for adults. It's a big word, especially for children. But after you boil everything off of the word abomination, it means it stinks to God. It's a stink in God's nose. It is a stench that is repulsive, you see. Unsavory, if you want to throw that in there on top of it. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 20 says, He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. So there you have once again the word froward and heart mixed together with the word perverse and tongue. So the meanings are found. You know, the Bible is the best commentator on itself if you know where to look, because the meanings are there. Many of you have a Bible that is self-pronouncing. I have one of those that I am not preaching out of tonight. But I have a number of Bibles that are self-pronouncing. You'll come to those hard names like Meir Shalal Hashbaz and Shir Jashub and all of them. They'll have all the little markings above the letters and all the accents and all the rest of self-pronouncing. The Bible, in many ways, is a self-identifying or self-pronouncing, self-describing book. And so here you have the word froward, the how it's associated with wickedness and sin. And then, of course, mischief. And the Bible says it doesn't find any good. That's interesting. Proverbs 22 and verse 5. Now here, notice this, where we read tonight. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. What's along the road, the pathway of the froward? Thorns and snares. A thorn will hurt you. A snare will capture you. A snare was not made to kill its prey. A snare was made to capture its prey, to hold it for the hunter to come and take the prey's life. So let's read it again. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. And then one last reference before we get into the meat of the message tonight is Isaiah 57 and verse 17. It says, "For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him, I hid him, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart." So you hear the disapproval of the Lord, and you find all that connected to the word froward. A froward individual is not the kind of person you want as a friend. It's not the kind of person you want as a close associate. Why? Because they are headed down the wrong path. When I started making decisions about God's will in my life, and everybody needs to come to that place where we make decisions of some kind, to where we're going to choose which way to go. I had to do that when I was much younger. There was a crowd of people that were my close associates, I should say. They were my close associates, but yet they were headed in a different direction. They were headed in an opposite direction from what I was headed. So I needed to make a decision. Was I going to stay on the same road with them, or was I going to take a different path? And some of them were into drugs. Some of them were into alcohol. One of them was a young man who was in my church. To be honest with you, I don't even know if he's alive anymore. He might be. I've not heard his name mentioned in years. I can't even begin to tell you what his name. I know his name because he and I went to the same church. We went to the same high school. And do you remember years ago I told you about a fellow that sat next to me in one of my classes and looked over at me and asked me how many drugs I wanted? He said, "You had named the drug." He said, "I can get you the drugs free of charge, won't cost you anything," as he was looking at me through bloodshot eyes. And I said, "No." Was he a friend of mine? We went to the same church. We were in the same youth group. I liked him and loved his family. He had sisters. And all the rest, one of his sisters is now in heaven, that I know. In fact, one of his sisters was the one who, when she got baptized, she thought the curtain was a solid wall, and she put her arm against the curtain, thinking it was a solid wall in the baptistry, and she fell right into the baptistry. We never did see her get out, but she did. She crawled up the stairs on her stomach, I think, and got out of the baptistry. He offered me drugs. He said he could get me all that I wanted. I was invited to go to a party one time with some kids whom I thought were good, straight kids. I went to the party that night, and I ended up leaving. There were drugs. There were hard drugs. There were chemicals. There was alcohol. There was all of those things, not to mention the immorality and the trashing of that house. I'm glad I got away from it. That's not a road I wanted to be on. I remember what I said out loud. "Is there anything in this house that doesn't have alcohol in it?" And they pointed to a cooler that was in front of me that had Pepsi in it. I got me a can of pop, got in my car. All the people that I had taken to that party, I took home. And not to their homes. We went to another home and we sat down and ate popcorn, drank pop, and watched a late night black and white movie. Really, even the two that were doing marijuana, we took them with us so that they wouldn't get hurt any more than they were. And that's the decision. Which way was I going to go? Was I going to hang with that crowd? I want to remind you, Jesus ate with sinners. He had them come to the house, but he didn't run with them. Understand that. That was not the crowd he ran with. He was with them in order to bring them to faith in Christ, to bring them to God, but not just to have fellowship and play with them, you see. I had to decide as a teenager which direction I was going to go. I'm glad I chose the direction I did. And one of the loneliest days of my life, when I gave all of my friends to the Lord and said, "Lord, now I don't have anybody that I know of that I can be close to." And he just started bringing ones in that were going in the same direction with the call of God, obedience to the Lord, winning the lost to faith in Christ. And I ended up with more friends than I knew what to do with that were going in the same direction. Thank God for that. But I had to choose which road I was going to be on. And I did choose, and I'm glad that I did. The path of the froward person is filled, the Bible says, with thorns and snares. And this is why it's so important that God's people not be closely associated with the froward. And what are these thorns? What are these snares? You have your Bible tonight. I want to show you what they are because it's all taken from the meaning of the word, okay, a froward. First of all, perverseness. That's one of the thorns. That's one of the snares. And what is perverseness? Let me read you the direction, read you the definition, if I may. It means to be directed away from what is right or good. To be directed away from what is right and good. It means to be perverted. That's a horrible word in itself. But it means to be perverted. It also means to obstinately persist in an error or to persist in being in a fault and to be wrongly self-willed or stubborn and marked by a disposition to oppose and to contradict. That's what it's talking about in this perverseness. And that's the kind of crowd that will trap you. That's the kind of crowd that will hurt you every way that you look. And Solomon tells his son and us that if he follows the path of the froward, it will be a path that will lead him away from what is right, a path that will lead him away from what is good. I don't know about you, but I want to be led in the right way. That's what I want to be. And according to this verse and the meaning of perverseness, the path of the froward is going to be lined with those who insist that right is wrong and wrong is right. Doesn't Isaiah talk about that? Where they said that he said there's a crowd that calls evil good and good evil. Does that define what we're living in today? Where immorality and ungodliness is considered good and those who do what is right are considered perverse? That's the society in which we're living. Solomon warned about getting on that road. It says full of thorns. And remember what a snare does? A snare doesn't kill you. A snare only entraps you. The people on this path are wrongly self-willed and stubborn. And the Bible says they are perverted in their ways. And these froward people oppose everything. Oh, these froward people that we're supposed to stay off of their path, the Bible teaches us that they are self-willed and stubborn in their ways, in their perverted ways. What kind of people do you want to run with? That's the thing that we have. I had to ask myself that question when I was much younger, and even today I have to ask that same question because I have a whole lot more associates today than I used to have as a young person. I'm old enough now to have an entire garage full. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I still have to make that same decision. And these froward people oppose everything that is right, and then they will contradict it, according to what the word froward means. And then I wrote this down, and as I was restudying this morning, on Sunday mornings, I go through everything that I'm going to teach and preach. I correct any misspellings that I may have or wrong punctuation. I do that so that I can read it correctly. I have a hard enough time reading as it is, but I want to make sure that I have it right. But I wrote this down, and I emphasize it. Is it any wonder that when you run with the wrong crowd, your disposition changes? Let me say it again. Is it any wonder that when you run with the wrong crowd, your disposition changes? You become like them. You cannot run with a skunk and come out smelling like a rose. That's just the way it is. Remember when I gave you the illustration of going to a petting zoo? If you take your kids to a petting zoo, take lots of things that smell good because they'll pet a goat and come home smelling like a goat. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's all over your hands. It's just one of those things. Been there, done that, and I thought, man, what was my hand smell like? It smelled like a goat that I was scratching on the top of the head or whatever it might be. You can't run with a skunk and come out smelling like a rose, and it's absolutely the truth. And you got to be careful about making those who are froward as your close associations. Why? Because you become like who you run with. That's bad English, but it's a good truth. You become like those with whom you run. Better English, same truth. You got to be careful about that. You see, and I'll go one step further and suggest that if they are your associations, you don't associate with them often. Why? Because their path is full of thorns and their path is full of snares. That's not the teaching of Dan Parton. It's the teaching of the Word of God, and I happen to believe it. The wrong road will what? Always lead you where? To the wrong place. And the wrong road will never lead you to the right place. And the right road will never lead you to the wrong place. It's just the truth is just there. One night after a youth activity, I was driving my dad. My dad had a Cadillac, and he didn't pay a lot of money for it, but it was a beautiful automobile. And one night after a youth activity, my dad had let me use his car, and I was driving a bunch of teenagers home after the activity. And we all looked like the Keystone Cops going down US 40 in Indianapolis, all these kids in the car. And I just kept driving and driving and driving. And then a jet flew over the top of the car. And I looked up and I thought, we're on the west side of Indianapolis. I lived on the east side of Indianapolis. You know, if I would have stayed on US 40 and continued to go, I would have never got to my house, because the wrong road will never take you to the right place. We were just having how teenagers can be. We were driving along, enjoying one another's company, having a good time, not paying attention to anything on US 40 until that jet flew over. I say, why is that important? Because the Indianapolis International Airport's on the west side of Indianapolis. I say, what'd you do? I turned around, went the right way, got everybody home, finally. Took a while, but I got them all home. Later than what we had planned, because the wrong road will always detour you and it will also halt you from going in the right direction. So you got to be real careful about that. The path that they are on is full of snares and thorns. The next meaning that we got out of the word froward, I said first of all, was perverseness. The next word is this, deceitfulness. What is deceitfulness? Now, let me give you the definition that the Word of God would use. To be deceitful, it means to be given to cheating or deceiving or deliberately misleading or simply being deceptive, telling a half-truth so as not to get the whole truth out, you see. The Bible says that the way of the froward includes being deceitful. I think I speak for everybody in this room. I don't appreciate deceitfulness, not one little bit. I don't appreciate being led away from the right path. The way of the froward is a deceitful way. This road is a road you have to avoid. You have to stay off that path. Why? Because the wrong road always leads where? To the wrong place. And this road's got to be avoided at all costs, for it is a misleading road. And the sign may say this is a good road, but in reality, it's a misleading road, which means it's a bad road. You know, US 40, traveling west on it, it was a good road. I don't know what it's like now. It might be full of chuck holes, like most of the roads in Indianapolis end up being after a while. But at that time, I'm driving along in my dad's car, got a load of teenagers in the car. We're enjoying having a good time. The road was in good shape, but it was the wrong road. You see, it was deceitful. It felt like we were going the right direction, but we were going the wrong way. And you may know froward people who are very successful in life and they make a good amount of money and seem to be happy with everything that they do. But the Bible says it's deceitful because they're froward and their life is a lie, you see. We'll say, I know some people that are froward and they're not always deceitful. It's not a matter of whether or not they're always deceitful. It's a matter that they are deceitful, you see. There's another meaning to the word froward that I want to give you now, and that is the word falsehood. It may sound like the same thing as deceitful, but it actually carries a different weight to it. But what does it mean to be false? It means a number of things. So I wrote down an entire small list of what it means to be false or to be a falsehood, you see, as a froward person. It means contrary to fact or truth, you see, contrary to the truth. Deliberately untrue. Tell you a lie to look at you. Deny the truth to look at you. Deliberately untrue, arising from mistaken ideas. intentionally deceptive, not keeping faith, but treacherous in their living. This one probably is one that we can all relate to, simply meaning not genuine and not real. Nobody here cares for people that are not genuine. There used to be a Mexican restaurant here in, right here on the east, on the west side of Colorado Springs. It was right there on Colorado Avenue, I believe it was. And it was called the Unica Authentica. And I think it means the real thing. Advertising that they served real Mexican food. I'm assuming that's what it was. They're closed down now, I think. But the truth of the matter is, we like the genuine article. We don't like things that are false. You remember when John the Baptist, remember the story of John the Baptist? We all know about him. And he was put in prison by Herod. And one of the things that he did was he sent for Jesus. Jesus didn't come, but he sent his disciples instead. And you know what John the Baptist, I'm going to put it in the Parton translation, if I may. It's accurate. They looked at the disciples and said, is Jesus really who he says he is? Is he the genuine article? Is he the Unica Authentica? Is he the real thing? Because John the Baptist didn't mind dying and giving his life for the real thing, but he wasn't going to die for a fake. Of course, Jesus was the real thing. It means to be built up temporarily for support during construction, but it's only temporary. It's only temporary. They might seem truthful at the beginning, but after a while they're not. It means to resembling, but not accurately, a proper designated as such. In other words, it looks real, but it's not real. It seems like it ought to be, but there's just something not right. This is an interesting part that's part of that. Music with an incorrect pitch. That goes right with this. Music with an incorrect pitch. I came early tonight to the church because I knew that we were going to have a guitar service because Penny's home tonight taking care of Mark. What did I do? I got out my A440 tuning fork, and I had 12 strings that I needed to work on. And almost every one of them was off just a little bit. It's like listening to a high school band. There's always that one clarinet that's just about that much out of tune. Or that one key on the piano that is just not quite there. So I went through all 12 strings with an A440 tuning fork. Did I call it a pitchfork a little bit ago? I didn't mean to if I did. It's a tuning fork. I've had it, oh goodness, I've had it for 50 years. I still use it. And I put it right on the 12-string guitar. You have to put it on the 7th fret to get an A. And I put it on the 7th fret on one string. And it gave me the right pitch. And I tuned all the rest of the 11 from that. And what it means is to be just incorrect pitch, just not quite. I was listening to it was a huge meeting. Thousands of Christians were there. I was listening to it on the radio up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where it was. And I was listening in my office. And the song leader got up to lead singing. God bless you, song leaders. Amen. Thank God for good song leaders. He was off pitch by a half a step, leading thousands of people in the song. The music was right. The people in the audience were right. But he was off and he had the mic. Then it got to verse number 2 of the hymn they were singing. And he was off about a pitch and a half. But he just kept singing. God bless him. He was sincere as he could be. But it just didn't sound right. That's all found in the word falsehood about one who's a froward individual. It means someone who's unwise and someone who is imprudent, you see. The froward individual is not your friend. I don't care who they are, young or old, male or female, saved or not. They are not your friend. Because the Bible says their way, their path, their road is filled full of thorns and snares. Brother Penn, wasn't it your daughter and my son who fell into the sticker bushes years ago? A friend of mine, when I was growing up, we had bike paths back behind my house. We rode our bikes over there. I'm riding my bike, he's riding his. We got separated on the same path, and I heard, "Oh!" I went back and found him. He'd fallen off of the path, off of his bike, into a bush of thorns. And he was sitting there just like this. "Can you help me out?" Yeah, they hurt. They didn't kill him, but they hurt him. And the Bible says the way of the froward individual is filled full of thorns. And then it says it's filled full of snares. And remember what a snare does? A snare doesn't kill you. A snare just traps you and waits for the hunter to come along and take you. But the Bible is so descriptive. The way of falsehood is a way contrary to the truth. The way of falsehood is deliberately untrue. The way of falsehood is based on mistaken ideas. The way of falsehood is intentionally deceptive and unfaithful and treacherous. The way of falsehood is not genuine, and it is short-lived, and it may resemble the truth, but it is not the truth. And it's like bad music. It's like things that are just off. And now they have all kinds of tools that can take a person who has a voice that's not quite on pitch and just right, and they can tune it to where it sounds like it's perfect until they have a live concert, and then you find out how they can't sing. The way of falsehood is unwise and not well thought through. Just how unwise is it to follow a forward individual? How to follow that path of the froward? The Bible gives us some good examples. Follow Judges, for example. Judges chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, where it says, "And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land, and shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your side." "And their God shall be a snare unto you." I wonder if Solomon read Judges 2. I bet he did. I'm sure he knew the scriptures. Joshua chapter 23, verses 12 and 13. "Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you." Once again, a warning of the wrong path. And where does the wrong path always lead? To the wrong place. Where does the right road always lead? To the right place. And he has emphasized this thorns and snares, obviously, more than once, not just in Proverbs, but now we see it in Judges, and we see it also in the book of Joshua. The warning is clear. Stay off that road. Stay off that road. So the question is, are you making league with the froward people? You've got to remember that the world is not our home. We're just passing through. Got to be very, very careful. So I have three little things that I want, or two, I guess, I want to give you, and then I'm going to bring this to a message to a close tonight. First of all, if we walk in the path of the froward, we may get to the place where we like it. The longer you're, the Bible in the book of Hebrews calls it the deceitfulness of sin. The longer you are exposed to darkness, the more like light it appears to you. The longer you are exposed to sin, the more like right it will seem to you. And so I say again, if we walk in the path of the froward, we may get to the place where we actually like it. It happened to God's people under Joshua's ministry when they finally led them into the promised land. Gad and Reuben and half tribe of Manasseh decided they liked the old world better than the new land. Why? They were exposed to it for a while. Thought it was good. Interesting. And what was the old world really better than what God had promised? Well, of course it was in their eyes. But was it better in reality? It was not, you see. And this is one of the proofs of how deceitful and how false the way of the froward is. So Solomon warns his son and us, because the word of God is to us. Old Testament, Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, the Old Testament stories are given as an example to us, you see. So he warns his son and us to avoid the way of the froward, for their path is full of thorns and snares. And the key to avoiding the froward is found in the last part of chapter 22 and verse 5 of Proverbs, our opening scripture. It says, "He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." The word keep, military term used in the Bible, talks about putting a garrison around yourself. Put a garrison around yourself and you're not going to get close to these folks. Let me read it again. "He that doth put a garrison around his soul shall be far from the froward, far from the snares, far from the thorns." And the Bible is just so clear. But I think sometimes we think that we're smarter than God because we don't believe what he says about the froward and the path that they're on. And we get on the path and then we find out that God was right all the time. And what it simply means is this, in Proverbs 22:5, the last phrase, it means to guard yourself and stay on guard against the froward in your life. You just don't want to be like them and you don't want to become like them. How foolish Christians are to think that they might change the froward by running with the froward. But the Bible teaches contrary to this. If you walk the same path as the froward, you will find nothing but thorns and snares. And that's where you have to remember that the wrong road always leads to the wrong place. So when I make a statement like that, it's not that I'm pulling it out of the air, making it up as a striped-legged, stump-jumping, independent, fundamental Baptist with a chicken-eating Baptist. That doesn't mean that I made it up. It has in itself biblical grounds for saying something like that. Because it's not something that I make up. It's something that I try to repeat to you because repetition is the key to learning, you see. So thorns and snares. I don't lie. I've been stuck with thorns. I really have been. Thank God I've never been caught in a snare, but I've seen animals that have been caught in snares. And they are held fast. They're held fast until the hunter comes and takes their life. And that's my message for tonight on thorns and snares, taken simply from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 5.